If you live in San Francisco right now, you are basically living at the absolute epicenter of the AI boom. I mean, you are surrounded by the smartest engineers in the world, the vast majority of the venture capital, and just billboards advertising literally every new artificial intelligence tool on the market.
Oh, yeah, it's completely inescapable.
Right, but statistically, you are also far more terrified of this technology than someone living in, say, Jakarta or Bangkok. So, welcome to the deep dive.
It really is the ultimate geographic irony, isn't it?
Totally.
Like, the places you assume are the epicenters of enthusiasm, the ones
Yes.
driving the whole narrative, they're the ones pulling back. And the regions you rarely see dominating the tech headlines, they're completely running the show when it comes to actual adoption.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I totally fell for the standard narrative myself until I started, you know, really digging into the underlying data for today's discussion.
It's an easy trap to fall into.
Because if you've scrolled through any business news lately, you've almost certainly seen some variation of the headline, like optimism about AI is rising. And sure, if you just look at the global average, that is technically true.
Technically, yes.
But averaging everything out obscures the real and, frankly, much more fascinating reality.
Yeah, it creates this massive blind spot because when you track how people's opinions are actually changing around the world, I mean, the global average might tick up, sure, but the underlying distribution, like who is actually excited and who is deeply anxious, that tells a completely different tale.
Exactly. So we brought the receipts today. We are looking at a massive stack of data. We've got Stanford HAI's 2025 and 2026 AI Index report.
Which are huge on their own.
Right. And we're pairing those with these extensive global surveys from Ipsos, the University of Melbourne, KPMG, and Pew Research. We are talking about responses from over 70,000 people globally here.
That is a lot of data points.
It is. And our mission today is to explore what the data calls the inverted AI map.
Right, which is this really wild phenomenon where the sentiment map, so how people feel, and the capability map, meaning where the technology is actually built, they simply do not overlap anymore.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because whether you are actively building AI tools or whether you're just trying to use them to get through your workday more efficiently, or even if you're just trying to navigate all the relentless hype, understanding who is actually adopting this tech changes everything.
Absolutely. And more importantly, you have to understand the psychological reasons why they are adopting it.
Yes. Because if you don't understand the real geography of adoption, you are flying blind in your business strategies, your investments, even your own career planning.
Yeah, you really are. So to understand this inverted map, we first kind of have to look at the source, right? The countries that are actually creating the technology.
Which brings us to this massive contradiction in the data.
Yeah.
Let's look at the United States. I mean, the US is literally building the engines of this tech.
Right, they're writing the algorithms for the frontier models.
Yeah, exactly. And spending billions powering these massive server clusters to train them. And they're essentially dictating the global discourse. Yet, according to the data, the US is one of the most pessimistic countries on earth about the results.
It's wild.
It is. Only 39% of Americans agree that AI produces more benefits than drawbacks.
Yeah, and just to put that 39% into perspective, that places the United States below Germany, below France, tied with Belgium, and just barely edging out the Netherlands. I
Wow.
mean, it is a profoundly skeptical stance for the nation that is driving the entire industry forward.
And then you compare that 39% in the US to the global South and these emerging markets, and the gap is just staggering. China is at 83% optimism.
83%.
Indonesia is at 80%. Thailand is 77%. Mexico is 70%. Honestly, it feels like a culinary scenario where the head chef absolutely refuses to eat at their own restaurant.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Why is a tech hub like San Francisco an extreme outlier of anxiety compared to Jakarta?
Well, what's fascinating here is the underlying trust deficit that drives those numbers. Because it's not just a debate about whether the technology is practically useful on a daily basis.
Okay.
It's really about whether the institutions behind the technology can be trusted at all. So when the survey asked individuals about trusting AI companies to protect their personal data, in the US, that trust sits at just 33%.
Just 33%.
Yeah. And in China, it's 66%. India is 66%. Thailand is 68%.
So the trust in those emerging markets is literally double what it is in the US. Now, I know the immediate pushback from anyone listening right now, they're probably thinking, well, some of those are heavily monitored survey environments, right? Like,
Yeah.
how accurate is a trust metric actually coming out of China?
And look, that is a completely fair critique, and researchers do try to account for state-influenced survey conditions in their methodology. But even if you heavily discount those international numbers, the U.S. still ends up sitting near the very bottom globally.
Right, the gap is just too big to wave away.
Exactly. The trust issue in the West isn't some artifact of how the survey was run. It's a structural reality. But honestly, the most revealing metric here is the 2026 data on government regulation.
Oh, yes. This specific stat fundamentally changes how you view the American tech landscape. So the survey asked people if they trust their own government to regulate AI. Singapore leads the pack at an incredible 81%.
Which is massive.
Yeah. And the global median is 54%. And the United States, dead last.
Out of all 30 countries surveyed.
Out of the 30 countries surveyed, the U.S. is at 31%. Lower than Japan, lower than Hungary, lower than every single European country. The nation with the most powerful AI capabilities is the least trusted by its own citizens to govern it safely.
Yeah, and that trust gap, you know, it won't be closed by simply shipping a new version of a language model or adding faster generation speeds.
Right, features don't fix trust.
Exactly. The American public is looking at the builders in Silicon Valley and the regulators in Washington and essentially saying, you know, we don't trust your guardrails, and frankly, we don't trust your motives.
So if the builders don't trust the tools they are making, it really forces a question, like who is actually using this technology at work every day?
Right.
Because if you spend 5 minutes on professional networking sites, it seems like every knowledge worker in the West is automating their entire job. But the data paints a completely different picture of the global workforce.
Yeah, let's establish the baseline here. The global average of employees using AI on a regular or semi-regular basis is 58%.
Okay, 58%.
But as we just established, averages are completely deceiving.
Yeah.
The adoption curve is actually highly localized.
Yeah, just look at the over 80% club. These are countries where over 80% of workers are regularly using AI at work. That club includes India, China, Nigeria, the UAE, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the United States is hovering around 55 to 60%, and Western Europe is really lagging behind at 40 to 50%.
And this reveals a massive institutional gap. Because data shows that India has organizational support for AI, meaning like corporate strategy, formal literacy training, established governance running at 85 to 90%.
Wow.
Now compare that to a country like Portugal, which scores around 30% on those exact same institutional metrics.
Okay, let's pause, because I really have to push back here, as this just defies basic economic logic, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, shouldn't richer countries with massive data centers, more widespread broadband, and, you know, just better digital infrastructure have much higher adoption rates? How does India beat Portugal by 55 points when Portugal objectively has more computing capacity and hardware per capita?
It completely flips our standard assumptions about technological adoption, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the traditional intuition is that emerging markets adopt slower because they lack the physical infrastructure.
Right. That's what we're always taught.
But the data reveals this new rule for the AI era, which is that infrastructure is downstream of mandate.
Downstream of mandate. Okay. Meaning, if leadership actually requires it, the infrastructure bottleneck magically disappears.
Precisely. Indian enterprise companies have mandated AI adoption as a core corporate strategy. Mm-hmm. So if the CEO of a massive tech services firm in Bangalore says, hey, we're becoming an AI-first company today, that creates an immediate mandate.
So it's top-down.
Exactly. They train their staff, they integrate it into the daily workflows, mm-hmm. and they actually measure their employees against it. But in a place like Portugal, or really much of Western Europe, the corporate culture is highly cautious.
Yeah.
AI is essentially treated as shadow IT. It's something employees might quietly use on the side, but the company doesn't officially sanction it.
Man, I have actually lived this. I tried to get a simple AI meeting transcriber approved for my team a few months ago.
Oh, I can guess how that went.
It was a nightmare. I had to fill out 3 separate compliance forms, sit through a security review, and then wait 6 weeks just to get a maybe. Meanwhile, a counterpart in an emerging market is being actively evaluated on how many AI tools they utilize that quarter. It's night and day.
And that institutional caution is the defining bottleneck in the West. I mean, the report points out that at a macro level, richer countries do have more AI infrastructure. Mm. But when you zoom in on the individual workers, the correlation totally inverts.
How so?
Well, workers in poorer countries who actually have internet access use AI far more intensively than workers in richer countries with that exact same access.
Oh, because the users in those emerging markets are heavily skewed toward urban, educated professionals in companies that are aggressively trying to leapfrog Western competition.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the developed market user base is a much broader cross-section of the economy. They have the luxury of hesitation.
Which means if you are designing AI workflow products in San Francisco or London, and all your customer research is based on talking to local knowledge workers, you are basically calibrating your entire product to a massive statistical outlier. You aren't building for the global majority at all. You're building for the most hesitant, anxious fringe of the global adoption curve.
Which is a huge strategic mistake. So if workplace usage is absolutely booming in places like India, we kind of have to ask if they're just blindly hyping it up. Like, are they naive to the risks?
Right. And looking at the sentiment trackers, the answer is a resounding no. And here's where it gets really interesting. Globally, the belief that AI has more benefits than drawbacks rose from 55% to 59% over the last year.
A solid increase.
But in that exact same population, the feeling that AI products make me nervous also rose from 50% to 52%.
Yeah, and it forces us to abandon this idea that optimism and anxiety exist on a seesaw.
Exactly. You'd think if optimism goes up, anxiety just has to come down. But it's actually a parallel track. Take India, for example. In the most recent year, their excitement level only went up by 2 points, but their nervousness spiked by 14 points.
Which is wild. It actually represents the sharpest anxiety-excitement divergence in the entire global data set.
And then you have a country like Japan, which is the total opposite outlier. They have stable, low excitement, around 46%, and very low nervousness, about 25%.
Right.
And I imagine that is largely driven by Japan's demographic reality, right? Like, they have an aging population and a long history of embracing automation just to keep their economy functioning.
Yeah, they're used to it.
So they aren't hyping it, and they aren't fearing it. They are just disengaged, pragmatic adopters. But for a place like India, how do we reconcile that booming mandated usage with a 14-point spike in fear?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, what we are witnessing is the signature of a maturing user base. People are getting much smarter about this technology.
Okay, making it less of a novelty.
Exactly. A worker can use an AI tool to automate 40% of their spreadsheets on a Tuesday. They genuinely love the tool, and they are highly optimistic about its utility. But that exact same worker can go home, look at the macro trajectory of the economy, and be incredibly anxious about the large-scale societal impacts.
So they aren't polarized. They are holding two entirely true yet conflicting beliefs simultaneously.
Yeah, it is a perfectly rational response to a disruptive technology.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's zoom back into the U.S. to deeply explore that psychological nuance, specifically by comparing how the experts view the future of this tech versus the general public.
Oh, this Pew data.
Yes. There is a survey from Pew Research that ran 5,400 U.S. adults against about 1,000 recognized AI experts. They asked both groups the exact same questions about what the world looks like 20 years from now.
And the resulting data is what I call the 50-point reality check.
Yeah, if you're listening to this at work right now, just look around your office or think about your team. The odds are that almost everyone around you is convinced this tech is going to shrink the job market, even if your IT department is pitching it as a productivity miracle.
Right.
When asked if AI will have a positive impact on how people do their jobs, experts say 73%. The public says 23%. That is a 50-point gap.
It's massive.
On whether it will have a positive impact on the economy as a whole, experts say 69%. The public says 21%, a 48-point gap.
And when you ask about jobs explicitly, 64% of U.S. adults expect there to be fewer jobs in the next 20 years. Only 5% expect more.
Just 5%. I look at that and wonder, are the experts just living in an academic bubble? Like, why do they see a net positive when the public sees mass replacement?
Well, the experts have a historical lens. They don't necessarily believe AI will just magically create millions of identical jobs. I mean, even among the AI experts, only 19% actually predict a pure numeric increase in jobs.
Oh, okay. That's a key distinction.
Yeah. What the experts see is that AI acts as a profound productivity multiplier. It will destroy specific tasks, yes, but historically, massive increases in productivity create entirely new market demands and new industries that we just can't fully conceptualize yet.
But the public doesn't have the luxury of waiting 20 years for a new industry to emerge. They just see the immediate destruction side of the equation.
Exactly.
The source material notes that this is the largest expert-public divergence on any technology question in recent memory.
And it all comes down to the psychological profile of the user. I mean, The public's heavy usage of AI is driven entirely by private personal utility.
Right.
It helps them write an email faster or code a script better or summarize a long PDF.
Right.
But because of the job vulnerability we just discussed, they harbor deep, simmering resentment about what this means for their livelihood in the long run.
Oh, think about it like your daily commute. Like, I love the convenience of driving my own car to work because it saves me time. That's the private utility.
Sure.
But I absolutely hate being stuck in gridlock traffic and breathing in smog. That's the public resentment. By using the tool that benefits me personally, I am actively contributing to the very system that is making me miserable and anxious.
That is the perfect mechanism to explain this. Private utility versus public resentment. And from a historical perspective, that dynamic creates a highly unstable equilibrium. It directly mirrors the exact psychological profile we saw in the early 2010s with social media.
Oh, wow. I remember that shift vividly. Because in 2012, people loved the personal utility of connecting with friends or getting news instantly.
Yeah, it was all upside.
But by 2018, society had grown to deeply resent the broader impact it had on mental health and democracy, even as they continued to scroll for 3 hours a day.
Exactly. The private utility keeps you hooked, but the public resentment eventually boils over into a massive backlash, which leads to demands for strict regulation, congressional hearings, and just a permanent loss of institutional trust.
Right.
When your core user base feels fundamentally threatened by the category of product they are heavily using, the industry is incredibly vulnerable to regulatory crackdowns.
Which brings us back to the headlines we keep seeing in the Western press. Things like, Germany is finally warming up to AI. The implication is that the West is shaking off that resentment and catching up to the global South. But the data tells a much more nuanced story.
It really does. When you translate the academic phrasing of these longitudinal surveys into plain English, the headlines are dramatically overstating the reality.
Okay.
Germany did see a jump. They went up 12 points in optimism from 2022 to 2025. It was actually the biggest gain in Europe.
Hmm.
And we saw similar, albeit smaller, upward trends in France, the UK, and the US.
So what does this all mean? Because in the world of public opinion polling, a 12-point shift is massive.
Yeah.
Doesn't that indicate a real turning point?
Well, a 12-point jump is statistically huge. Sure, these metrics usually only move by 1 or 2 points a year. But, and this is the vital context even with that massive leap, Germany's absolute total optimism level is still sitting at only 47%.
Oh, compared to China, which is hovering at 83%.
Right. So this isn't a global convergence where everyone is suddenly on the same page. It is merely a catch-up.
Got it.
The statistical floor is coming up from the bottom, but the ceiling, places like China, Thailand, and Indonesia, is staying incredibly high. The West has narrowed the gap slightly, but they are still firmly parked in that high, nervous, low, excited quadrant of the global map.
Okay, to pull all of this together for you listening,
no.
If you are building an AI product, if you're the person responsible for buying software for your company, or if you're just trying to understand where the economic future is actually being written, you have to memorize this inverted map.
You really do.
The global center of gravity for AI enthusiasm, institutional support, and practical daily adoption is not in Silicon Valley. It's not in London or Berlin. It is firmly rooted in Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa and Latin America.
That's where the momentum is.
Exactly. If you are designing products or business strategies relying solely on an American user's intuition, you are quite literally calibrating your technology to the bottom 10th percentile of global enthusiasm. What feels like an aggressive, over-the-top AI feature to a manager in Chicago probably feels like the bare minimum baseline to a manager in Indonesia.
And this raises an important question for the industry at large, because trust in the builders is structurally low, especially in the West. The market is actually wide open.
Wide open.
Yeah, the companies that are going to win the next decade might not be the legacy tech giants with the largest computing clusters. They will be the companies that can offer genuinely different governance, transparent data practices, and real public accountability. The trust deficit is a massive business opportunity, and someone outside the current establishment is going to figure out how to monetize closing it.
Which brings us back to that illusion of geography we started with. The map we've been operating on, where the West invents, adopts, and exports technology to the rest of the world, has fundamentally changed.
It's a new era.
So I want to leave you with a final thought to really mull over. If the greatest enthusiasm, the deepest workplace adoption, and the strongest institutional mandates are all rapidly consolidating in emerging markets today, what exactly does the global economy look like 10 years from now?
It's a heavy question.
Consider what happens when the next massive paradigm-shifting technology isn't just rapidly adopted by the Global South, but is completely designed, built, and exported by them. They are currently leveraging a massive, mandated AI head start in their workforces today, training millions of workers on these tools while the West remains stuck in a cycle of high anxiety and institutional hesitation. When that map finally flips for good, where will you be standing?